We use it all the time, right? Image search. I mean, who hasn't spent hours going down an image rabbit hole? But have you ever thought about, like, the legal stuff behind it? The cases that shaped how we use image search today?
Oh, yeah, totally. It's easy to forget there's a whole world of copyright law behind those seemingly simple searches.
Exactly. So today we're diving into a really important case, Kelly v. Ariba Soft Corp. This one went all the way to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Huge case. It basically helped define what copyright means, you know, in the digital world.
Okay, so let's set the scene. We've got Leslie Kelly, a photographer.
Super talented guy known for his photos of, like, the American West, and he was licensing his work online.
Got it. And then we have Ariba Soft.
Ariba Soft, they had this, well, at the time, revolutionary idea, an image search engine that used thumbnails. It was a game changer back then.
So did these two, like, team up?
Not quite. It actually ended up being a bit of a legal showdown. Yeah, Ariba's search engine, it copied something like 35 of Kelly's pictures without permission. And they used them to make those thumbnails for their search results.
I can see why that would be a problem.
For sure. So Kelly obviously saw it as a copyright infringement. I mean, who wouldn't? So he took them to court.
Makes sense. So what happened? Did he win?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. The first ruling, it actually went in Ariba's favor. The district court said it was fair use.
Wait, really? So copying someone else's work without asking is fair use?
Yeah, so that's why this case is so fascinating, because it really digs into, like, the gray areas of copyright, especially online.
Okay, I'm hooked. So what happened next?
Kelly, he wasn't giving up. He appealed, and the case went up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's when things get really interesting, because they had to grapple with this question. Did using thumbnails actually violate Kelly's copyright?
Right, because the thumbnails are smaller, lower resolution versions of the original pictures.
Exactly. And then the other big question was, what about when somebody clicks on that thumbnail? They see the full-sized image, right? Is that okay too?
So two big issues. Okay, let's break it down. Let's start with those thumbnails. How did the Ninth Circuit approach that?
Okay, so they really focused on this idea of transformative use. Now, Kelly's pictures, they were artistic expressions. They were meant to be admired. But Ariba's thumbnails, they served a completely different purpose. They were like a visual index. It helped people find the pictures they were looking for.
So kind of like a library card catalog. You see the titles and, like, the basic info, but you don't get the full experience of reading the book.
Exactly. The court saw Ariba's thumbnails as transforming Kelly's images into something new, you know, with a distinct purpose.
I see. So even though they were technically copies, they were used in a way that was totally different from Kelly's artistic intent.
Right. And they even said, like, Ariba's use serves to improve access to information, not exploit artistic expression. That idea of transformative use, that was, like, the heart of their decision.
Okay, but what about the whole creative thing? I mean, Kelly's work was original, and they still copied the entire image, even for the thumbnail. Shouldn't that be a problem?
Well, they addressed that. The court did acknowledge that Kelly's work was creative, but since the pictures were already, like, out there published, this factor didn't hold as much weight.
So because he had published them, it was like he was opening them up to a certain level of use.
Kind of. And the whole transformative use argument was so strong, it overshadowed the creativity aspect in this particular case.
Got it. But wouldn't the thumbnails, even though they're small, impact Kelly's earnings? I mean, people might just see his pictures through those thumbnails and never actually go to his website to, you know, buy a print or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. They considered that too. But they ultimately decided that the low resolution of the thumbnails wouldn't actually replace Kelly's high-res work.
So people who want the full quality image would still need to go to Kelly directly.
Exactly. They said it wouldn't hurt his market. Now, this whole market harm thing, it became much more relevant when they looked at the full-sized images. That's the second big issue, remember.
Right, right. Okay, so let's get into that. What happens when someone clicks on the thumbnail and sees the full-sized image? What did the court say about that?
All right, well, this is where things get a little more complicated. There were two ways people could see the full image in Ariba's results.
Okay.
One was inline linking. It's basically like embedding the image directly from Kelly's website. You know
how to.
And then there's framing, which is showing the image in a window on Ariba's site, but still pulling it from Kelly's server.
So both ways, people are seeing the full picture without actually going to Kelly's site. What does the court say about that?
Well, here's the thing. The Ninth Circuit, they actually reversed the district court's decision on the full-sized images.
So they sided with Kelly.
Not so fast. It wasn't because they were sure it was copyright infringement. It was more of a procedural thing. It turned out that neither side had actually asked for a ruling specifically on that issue.
Oh, so the district court kind of jumped the gun?
Yeah, exactly. The Ninth Circuit was like, hold up, you can't rule on something that wasn't officially presented. So they sent that part back to the lower court to look at again.
Interesting. So even though they didn't have a firm answer on the full-sized images, did they give any hints about how they might see it in the future?
They did, and it wasn't looking too good for Ariba. They basically said that both inline linking and framing, they could potentially infringe on Kelly's right to display his work.
Even if Ariba wasn't hosting the image themselves.
Right, because even if you're not hosting it, if you're displaying it, you're making it publicly viewable, and that falls under the copyright holder's control, according to the court.
So thumbnails, they were okay. But displaying the full image, even through linking or framing, that was much riskier.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they were drawing a line between, you know, permissible indexing and potentially infringing displays. A really crucial distinction.
It makes you think about how the internet might look different if they hadn't made that distinction.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This case had huge ripple effects. Think about how many websites rely on showing images.
It's true. It's everywhere.
Right. So this case directly impacted how those companies operate, forcing them to think about licensing terms of service, you know, and how to balance user experience with copyright protection.
And for photographers and artists, this case was like a wake-up call. I mean, especially in those early internet days, it really highlighted the changing landscape of copyright.
Oh, absolutely. It brought about a wave of awareness and caution, made everyone think more deeply about transformative use, licensing, and the evolving relationship between, like, tech and copyright.
So we've walked through this case from those tiny thumbnails all the way to the bigger question of full-size images. But what does it all mean for us today? What's its legacy, you know, in our digital world?
Well, think about Google Images, right? That entire platform, it's built on this idea of thumbnail indexing that Kelly v. Aribasoft basically validated. It allowed search engines to do their thing, to connect us with images in ways we couldn't have imagined before.
It's kind of amazing to think about how this case really laid the foundation for the visual internet as we know it.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But it's also kind of a cautionary tale, right? It shows us that we need clear boundaries, legal frameworks, as tech keeps pushing the limits.
Exactly. It really sparked conversations about those licensing agreements, terms of service, and finding the right balance between innovation and copyright protection. And it wasn't just about, you know, big tech companies. This case affected anyone sharing or using images online. Think social media, blogs, portfolios.
So basically, the way we interact with images online was shaped, at least in part, by this case.
Absolutely.
But also raise new questions, right? I mean, as platforms change and how we create content evolves, we're going to see more of these legal challenges and debates about fair use and copyright.
Oh, definitely. It's a constant reminder that the law is playing catch up with technology. Always.
Which makes you wonder what legal battles are happening right now behind the scenes of the apps and websites we use every day.
Right. What's pushing those boundaries of copyright now, and how are the courts going to deal with it? It's a huge question.
And it's a question we all have a part in answering, right? As users, creators, people living in this increasingly digital world, it's important to be aware of these issues and understand that balance between access to information and protecting creators' rights.
For sure.
So the next time you're using your favorite image search engine or sharing a pic online, think about the legal battles that made it possible. What new frontiers of copyright are out there? And what role do we want to play in shaping them? These are some things to ponder as we move on from our deep dive into Kelly v. Aribasoft Corp.
You know, it's really interesting to see how much this case, Kelly v. Aribasoft, has resonated with our listeners. It's clear that these copyright issues are still so relevant, even all these years later.
Oh, for sure. And the questions they're asking, they're the same questions that lawyers, policymakers, like everyone's trying to figure out right now. How do we protect creators, but also make sure people can access information online?
Yeah. And how do we define fair use when technology is constantly changing the game?
Exactly. It's not an easy thing to solve.
Not at all. It's complex. There's so much nuance. But I think Kelly v. Aribasoft gives us a good starting point for thinking about these things. It reminds us that copyright law, it's not set in stone. It has to adapt as technology changes and as we find new ways to create and share stuff.
Right. It's always evolving.
And it's a good reminder that we have to consider everyone's perspective, you know? The photographers and artists who want to protect their work, the search engines and platforms that want to provide information, and the users who just want to, like, see and share cool stuff online.
It's about finding that balance.
Exactly. And it's not just about following the rules, but also about creating a culture where people respect copyright and really get why it matters and why fair use is important, too.
It's about education, both for creators and for users.
Totally. We have to go beyond just, like, knowing the rules and actually understand the reasons behind them.
Like, why do we have copyright in the first place?
Right. And what's the point of fair use?
How do we navigate all of this in a way that lets people be creative and come up with new things while still making sure creators are protected?
Exactly. And that brings us back to what our listeners were talking about. What role do we want to have in shaping the future of copyright? It's not just a question for lawyers and judges. It's a question for all of us.
It really is.
You know, as users, we can think about how we're using and sharing content online. Are we respecting creators' rights? And as creators, we can take steps to protect our work and teach other people about copyright.
We can be more proactive.
And as citizens, we can talk about these issues, have these conversations, and advocate for policies that find that balance, that middle ground between different interests.
So, as we close out our deep dive into Kelly v. Ariba SoftCorp, let's leave everyone with this thought. The internet is this incredible tool for creativity, for connecting with people, for coming up with new ideas, but it's also a place where we have to think about the legal side of things and what's ethical. And by understanding how copyright works and how fair use works, we can all help make sure the internet stays a place where creators and users can thrive.
Well said. I think that's a great note to end on.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.